Hello, and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. So I get a lot of questions about German New Medicine and pregnancy, so I'm very excited about this episode. Because I interviewed a woman named Valerie who was about 6 weeks postpartum with her first baby. And yeah, we just get right into it, into kind of, you know, many typical pregnancy symptoms and how she, you know, understood and resolved and yeah, just navigated her pregnancy with the knowledge of the five biological laws. And yeah, so we talk about morning sickness, we talk about recurring yeast infections, and then some, you know, sort of typical pregnancy pain stuff. We talk about pubic symphysis pain and low back pain. And yeah, there's just like so much richness in this conversation. And yeah, I just hope there's like lots to go on in here for women who are pregnant or going to be pregnant, or if you, you know, reflecting back on your own pregnancies, just to consider, you know, what an intense, you know, obviously physical experience pregnancy is, but also an emotional, psychological one, and that and sort of the impact that can have on the kinds of symptoms that are expressed in that time. And also, I think my favorite part of this is just like how when you know deeply in your cells that every single symptom is intelligent and purposeful and, you know, follows a very specific, predictable pattern, just how much easier it is then to embrace and feel safe in giving birth. And to trust that that is also an intelligent, you know, physiologically patterned process that you can trust your body to do. And so we talk a lot about that. And then Valerie, it's a longer episode because she ends by sharing her beautiful, beautiful, like so precious, this birth story of just her and her husband at home with her first baby. And I know you're going to love this one so much. So I'm gonna stop here. I'll just say there's a couple odd edits at the beginning because there was some baby noise and giving her baby over to her husband while we talked. So yeah, let me know what you think, and please share with all of your pregnant women friends.
And I was like, GNM, like what is GNM? So I like Googled that and I thought, okay, this is like mind body medicine on crack. Like it's just
totally
it's like taking it to such a new level. And I had that interest, and my background's in Chinese medicine, mm-hmm. but my favorite part has always been like the energetics, the connection of mind body. So anyway, when I found out about GNM, it became sort of a hobby even before I conceived, but I had never formally like delved into things super intensely. It was just more like a fun curiosity. I would look things up. But I think like a lot of people, I would look things up and I wouldn't 100% be able to interpret like what I found on the GNM website, you know, and then what's going on with my body. So anyway, I knew I could feel in my body that there was like a lot of truth to it, but as far as applying it, I didn't always know how to apply it. So when I was pregnant, and I found your offering, I was like, okay, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Like I specifically wanted someone that I could talk to that could reflect back to me the principles and sort of like help me unpack things, because I knew that I had some like blind spots. Like when you just look at your own situation, you miss things that someone else could pick up on, or that you start picking up on them when you're voicing them or journaling them, like things start coming through. So that is sort of my history with German New Medicine. And I hadn't actually been sick or experiencing symptoms very much in my life at all
Right.
till I was pregnant. So there wasn't even that many times to practice on myself. Like I could like practice on other people in my life and be like, oh, this is a separation conflict. But then I had no symptoms. I like kind of was bragging about how I never get sick. Like I just, it's just not in my reality. And I, even at the beginning of the pregnancy, people had asked me like, oh, has the morning sickness started? And I was like, no, I'm not gonna get morning sickness. Like I'm like, that just doesn't happen to me. Like, you know, I'm just like, I'm so healthy. I did say to my family members, like, yeah, I'm not the kind of person who gets morning sickness, you know? Which
That's also
is
funny.
totally kind of like funny because it's all about identity, right? Like we kind of ended up unpacking there's this big identity piece. And so of
Which
course
is
that
also, I mean, it does make sense, like why you would reach such a conclusion, right? Because you've been in the alternative health world for a number, like for a long time. You're like a practitioner, like you're doing all the things that in that world, you shouldn't get morning. You actually should have just a perfect symptom-free life because you're
Yes.
like meeting all the boxes, and then not. But then when you know German New Medicine's like, yes, and there's like the psychological experience, which tends to be heightened during pregnancy because things are just higher stake. There's just a big shift
Yes.
going on.
Everything was heightened. And it was interesting because I do remember you had asked me, like, you know, you may have had this conflict before, but it wouldn't have necessarily yielded the same symptoms because biologically I'm totally different when I'm pregnant. You know, hormonally I'm different and I'm in just such a different stage. So that was the case for me. That was part of my confusion around applying the German New Medicine to myself without like kind of your reflection. And it was just that, like, well, these aren't necessarily totally new conflicts, so why is my body responding now? And of course, like it does take on a new meaning when you are about to be a mother. Everything takes on a new meaning. Your whole center of gravity changes. So of course, your body would also change and respond differently. So that is to kind of start like chronologically. I found out I was pregnant maybe around week 4 or 5. I was not super far along, and it was kind of like a, I don't know exactly when I conceived, but I felt energetically it's like a conscious conception. Like my husband and I were just very excited to welcome in a baby, and it did not take us long to conceive. So it was just very like exciting and just sort of like a magical time. And again, like in those early weeks, I was like, I'm gonna have the easiest pregnancy ever. And then I simultaneously, a lot was shifting in my life. Like in retrospect, I did have some ideas around what I would have accomplished before becoming a mother. So there was never a conflict around like me freaking out about motherhood per se, but it was more like certain subtle things. I hadn't realized I put so much weight toward like how much I would have financially figured out or with my own career, like where my career would be before having a baby. And so those things, I would have never thought that that would be part of why I was throwing up. But I did start throwing up around week 8, and it was right when my husband went on a business trip to Texas. So I was thinking like maybe I'm just stressed because I miss him, and it was so bad. Like it started out, my expectation with that would be that like I would puke once in the morning and just be nauseous in the day, and it was so severe. I was puking all day and all night, almost all the time. And I, you know, I just couldn't keep anything down. And this happened from week 8, probably to around week 15. So it was almost like having the flu, like severe flu for many weeks. So of course, at a certain point, I had tried all of the physical things like the B6 and the ginger, and then, you know, making sure I have nutrients and liver capsules and magnesium and all the things that you would be recommended. Of course, like my philosophy, I didn't want to take any pharmaceuticals, but as far as like nutrition and herbs go, I did try everything, and acupuncture and moxibustion. I was giving myself moxibustion to the point where I, like, at a certain point, I forgot to have my tweezers nearby, and I have scars of all the moxibustion, like burning little circles onto my belly. So anyway, I was desperate. All that to say, I was very desperate for a solution, and just to kind of keep myself hydrated and feeling a little bit better, I would have a lot of vitamin IVs. So I probably got like 10 vitamin IVs in that period at my house. So that sort of like kept things somewhat manageable, but I was still really suffering physically. And then that's when I found Symptom Church, and I was like, okay, this is the missing piece. I have tried every other holistic thing that I can think of, and I had a feeling that it was something I needed to process anyway, emotionally. And I just had no idea, like, how do I even start to figure out what that is? Like, I thought I was pretty happy, and I knew I wasn't like bummed about the pregnancy or anything. And so that's when we had our first call. And I think the first conflict that came up, because you were as something as simple as asking me, like, what happened that week when you first threw up? You know, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, and then I remembered that was a week where I was doing like a lot of financial deep diving. I was like getting like all my ducks in a row. And the way that I was going about that, I was assigning a lot of meaning to it. I was like assigning a lot of weight to, like, okay, I have to figure out my finances because that's just something I have to do in order, like, before I become a mother, you know?
And it was also kind of like, and don't get it wrong.
It was sort of like my relationship to it, which I hadn't actually consciously realized until you asked me, but it was like, I put so much weight onto, like, if I get this wrong, like, my whole world will crumble, basically. Like, I put a lot of pressure on myself with figuring that out. And then not only figuring it out, but like figuring it out the right way the first time, like just no room for error. So that was, and I, the first like kind of identity piece of like, I'm not the kind of woman that fill in the blank. And
also, like, one of the aspects of an identity conflict is also this like decision conflict, you know, like, am I making, and you were, you know, obviously don't get into the personal details, but you were making like some big kind of financial organizational decisions, and it,
yes,
that felt like there was a lot of pressure on them, I think.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, do I go this direction or do I go this direction? And like, I better not make the wrong choice. And so that was a big thing for me. And that is what happened right around that time that it began. And then when my husband went on his trip, I know there was a part of me, of course, like I'm like super close to him. I want to be around him all the time. So I did miss him. But then I was thinking, what was I doing while he was gone? I was scrolling on my phone a lot. And every time I would scroll, I would get nauseous. And at first I thought, like, it's just like my eye, like almost like a seasickness. Like, it's like, you know, the motion is throwing me off or whatever. But then you asked me, like, well, what do you think about like when you're scrolling Instagram? And that was related to my career, my idea around a career as well. It was sort of like every time I would scroll, I would think to myself, I really should be using this platform to promote my business right now. And like, but I'm too sick to do that. And, you know, like it was just sort of like, it became kind of a track for me around the same kind of decision conflict of like, you know, kind of just where do I stand with career and I better figure this out before I become a mother. Like that's just sort of what I kept telling myself. And I, you said something very wise about like, even if you were to figure out the perfect format for your career while you're pregnant, your whole center of gravity is going to shift when you become a mother anyway. So like, you know, just kind of allowing that to be loose was really helpful. And just like, yeah, you don't have to figure one thing out and have that be like your permanent identity. And then that's it, you know? So that kind of adds up as well. And then there was another element of like territorial anger that I think related to the nausea and vomiting as well. So like there were a couple of triggers that made perfect sense to me, like somebody saying like a weird comment to my husband, like a jokey, like, oh, like babies like are so whatever, I can't remember, hard or expensive, or like you should just get a vasectomy after the first one. And that, like, I mean, of course that's completely uncalled for, but I knew that like my, right after I heard that that happened, my body was just like, I just puked so much for like 24 hours, so I could tell that that was related. But then when you mentioned like the territorial anger, that's exactly how it landed in my body. I was like, you're coming into my territory and saying this, and I'm very angry. And I did feel kind of unfamiliar with, like it did catch me off guard. So perfectly aligned with the shock. Like I had, did not see it coming. And there were a couple other moments of that where like family members or just people in my life would bring something up. And even if it was something that was ultimately like nice to have brought up, like healing for the lineage, like someone speaking something that needed to be spoken for a long time, like it, because I was feeling like I had this sort of, my territory was my little sphere, my pregnancy aura. And I felt like if somebody were sharing something that like would be emotionally kind of like intense, it, you would ask me like, oh, how did that actually feel? And I would be like, I'm actually angry. I feel like they shouldn't have like crossed me, you know?
They invaded your peace.
Yeah, they invaded my peace, my mental territory. Yeah. And so even if that was not like the intention, that's how I was receiving it. And so that added up perfectly. And then there's one other thing that kind of we kind of pieced together, which was the identity around how I was eating. So like I had always kind of prided myself on like having this Weston A. Price, like super nutrient dense diet. And although I don't think this is what started my morning sickness, it almost like perpetuated, it was like conflict on top of conflict, because once I started puking, then I had an identity conflict around like, I thought I was going to be the kind of person who eats all this food, like thousands of calories a day of like liver and marrow. And I can't stomach any of that stuff. Like all I want is like a bean burrito from Taco Bell. And the only thing I can keep down are these like clementines or whatever. And so I felt a lot of very intense sort of like life or death pressure around that. I was very scared that I wasn't eating enough. And actually in retrospect, like, of course I was eating enough. Like I actually, even though I was puking a lot, like I was getting a lot down, like now that I think about it. But at the time I just, my expectation didn't like meet my reality. And I felt really bad about it. The food piece became another I don't know if you would call it a track or just like another identity conflict in itself, but every time that I would look at a piece of food that I thought wasn't nutrient dense enough, like in my mind, I was like, okay, yeah, I just have to eat a ton of animal products. And those I just couldn't keep down for those weeks. So, yeah. So then every time I would go into like another conflict about how I'm not like lining up my life with how I thought I was as a person. Like, I just thought, yeah, I actually had kind of a sense of pride around like, I know what pregnant women are supposed to eat. And like, I'm not one of those women who's just gonna eat junk food or like lemonade or just, you know, fill in the blank. And it turns out like I totally was, you know, I was eating foods that I just didn't think I would. And I was throwing up foods that I thought would help me. And anyway, it was all very disorganized, my relationship with it. And so when we brought up that piece, and you had mentioned like sometimes when we bring up these pieces, you will have memories or things will come to you in dreams, or there might be like more things that come to the surface. And that happened right after, I think it was our first call. I had a dream that I was in another kind of lifetime existence, whatever. I had a dream that I had these like three children and I was in sort of like a hut and I couldn't feed them and I was panicking. Like there was just not enough food. It was some kind of famine. And I woke up from the dream and instead of feeling like it was this terrible nightmare, I woke up and I feel like there was this realization that landed in my body of like, that's not this lifetime. Like, we have enough food this lifetime. Like, we have enough resources. Baby is fine. And I just like it landed. And that was the night after our call. And I woke up that morning, oddly enough, like feeling relieved after this like terrible dream. I felt like it had been processed and acknowledged and just. I just knew in my bones, I was like, my baby is fine. I'm eating enough. I know that to be true. And I went to feed my dog. And I, for those weeks, someone else had to feed my dog because I would like puke at the smell of her dog food. And I was like, oh, I just fed my dog without gagging. I went outside and enjoyed the sunlight. I had like a whatever sounded good to me, like a breakfast sandwich, and I didn't puke. And that was the first morning that I hadn't puked in weeks. So I knew, and that was after our first meeting, but I knew that obviously that resolution was the thing that had to happen for my body to like relax. And it really, it tapered off so significantly. I did have a few more puking episodes. It wasn't like it just never happened again, but it was nothing like it was. I think it was probably 90% better after the first call. And when I did have occasions where I would throw up again, I knew exactly why. Like it was clear as day to me. It was like you can't unsee it once you see it. And I would, you know, I'd throw up and then I would be like, oh, of course, because that was like that thing that just happened, like caught me off guard and made me like question who I was or what I believed in. Or maybe it made me angry, like, and I felt like my territory was invaded. And so it was just very cut and dry. Like, once I figured those things out, I had like maybe three more occasions where I got sick, but it was just I knew what it was about. And then at a certain point, because I had developed that awareness, and that was another thing that I felt was really valuable is like I remember asking you, what should I do? And you were like, well, the awareness is usually enough. You know, I mean, it's not like you're have to do. It's like you just notice, like notice. So when I got a little bit better at noticing those things, it wouldn't be as much of a shock to my body. And so because I could almost slow it down, it was sort of like when you see the Matrix and he slows everything down and he starts dodging the bullets in like slow motion. It's like that's how I felt with the shocks or tracks. Like it became like I could sort of see them coming and just sort of notice what I'm feeling. And that alone made the symptoms almost nothing. Yeah. So around week 15 or 16, it became sort of just not a thing anymore, the morning sickness. And it felt very life-changing to have that go away, because there were moments where, even though logically I knew I wouldn't be throwing up forever, like that is kind of how it felt. Like it felt like I would just never feel well again, because I had been, it had just been so many days in a row. So it just started to feel really hard.
And also that you like the means by which you resolved it too, I'm guessing, was also different than what you had done healing wise before.
Yes. Yeah. And I knew what I had experience with in my own healing was a lot more general, like this whole concept of stress. And like, when I'm not stressed, I don't get sick, you know, that kind of just very simple. So this really brought it into my bodily awareness, how specific and exact this medicine can be. And it like really helped me trust my body so much more, which is a theme kind of in my life, is like, I have always yearned for that bodily trust. And that's partially why I went to school for Chinese medicine, is that helped me gain an understanding of my body. But this just takes it a whole step further. Like,
I think I remember also that you did vomit once, right? I think in your third trimester or something, but you were, again, you were, it was something financial decision.
Yes. Yes. And that was, it was like a, it was a pretty quick and easy vomit. Like it wasn't just this like marathon of feeling horrible and puking, but I, even so, I was like, weird. I haven't vomited in, you know, many months. And I thought about what I had done that day. And it was sort of like a resolution of some of the decisions that I was like teeter tottering on financially from the earlier in the year. So it was like, of course, when I resolved that, the similar symptom came up. And also, because I hadn't had that symptom for so long, I wasn't coming at it from that kind of like matrix awareness level where I was like, it did actually catch me off guard again, because I didn't, it wasn't fresh in my consciousness or anything. So it made perfect sense. So after the vomiting resolved, which was like a huge celebration, then I noticed just this like sense of discomfort, like in my yoni. And I thought, you know, this is just kind of classic pregnancy, like hormones, like estrogen dominance, you know, just like candida thrives off of estrogen. That was sort of like my initial logic. Like, this is just, everyone in pregnancy has this kind of discomfort. And now I know that not to be true. Like, there's so many stories we tell ourselves about what is like
it's
normal.
It's just the way it is.
It's just pregnancy. Like, pregnancy is not a walk in the park. Like, you know, whatever culturally is just said. And I totally reject that now, because, so that was one thing. I just kind of, I had never had like a yeast infection in my life. Like, it was not something common for me. So I kind of just thought like, maybe it's summertime, like wet bathing suit, like whatever. I thought it would just kind of resolve. And when it became a little bit more persistent, I was like, okay, time to call Freya. like schedule another appointment. I was like, what's going on now? Because I had tried to look up on my own the German New Medicine, interpretation of the yeast infection, or I wasn't even totally sure it was just that kind of discomfort, but I was assuming it was like candida, like some kind of, that's what it felt like to me. And the description didn't feel relevant to what I was experiencing. So of course, that's why I had to, unpack it with you. And I can't remember what the initial description was. It was maybe like feeling humiliated or soiled or something like that. And I remember really trying to honestly think like, oh, did I have any micro moments of that? And it really didn't feel like that was true. So the other, what we ultimately figured out was that it's, again, asking where it began or when it began is like so helpful, because it started right when I resolved my morning sickness. During the phase and like the weeks that I was throwing up, I really missed like being intimate with my partner. And there was just no way I could, because I was like physically so ill. So right when that resolved, I was so happy to like reunite with my husband. And like, I was very kind of just, I wasn't totally taking anything like slow, I was just like, yes, let's do this, And then there was this like moment that I remembered that was like, oops, I probably just was like going into this too quickly. Like I wasn't totally ready. And in that exact moment, once again, like caught me off guard. It like felt like it, I wasn't, my body wasn't ready. And I felt kind of alone in that moment, because I felt like it would be embarrassing to say like, whatever, I'm just like, this feels uncomfortable. Like I wanted it so bad. So there was that contradiction of like, oh, I've just been like waiting for this moment. And I rushed into it. And so
also I think, because so the one of the conflicts for this is like having sex, but the conflict of like being, I think if you read it on Learning GNM, it's like insufficient lubrication would be
yes,
the way
specifically.
To describe. Which I think is common also. I haven't been pregnant, but I work with a lot of pregnant women, because there's also just like a lot of new fluids, like things go, going on, and like I think it sounds like, I remember from our conversation, had like anticipated that it was like, you were ready to go, and then the reality was not that. And like it is that kind of those subtle moments of incoherence that
yes, like it's like a contradiction in my body. And so because I remember like I was saying, oh, I thought I was totally ready, because it seems like everything's like super wet in pregnancy, there's just like it's just and that doesn't mean that I was actually ready. So and so that moment was, kind of creating that program where my body was like, oh, insufficient lubrication, like let's just make a ton of it, like that's, I don't
well,
know.
I think so the yeast would come in the like the discomfort that you're feeling would come in the healing phase. And so like you probably like had that experience, and then I don't know, however many days later, I can't remember now all the details, everything we discussed, but like then had a great sexual experience in resolution. But then the track that like kind of kept it going chronically was, am I ready, am I not, like that kind of like moment when you were like wanting to be intimate with your partner.
Yes.
And like the subtle thoughts of like, can I really trust my belief that I'm ready to have sex,
Totally, because it was a new landscape with my pregnant body. It was just like I had to relearn what my body's signals were, because it was just, like I felt like I was living in kind of a new version of my body. So I just wasn't, I had to relearn that in a way. And that also was weird, because I'm like, this never happens, that when I'm not pregnant, this never happens. So like, what's the deal? And of course, that was sort of a tricky one to resolve, because there were like a few tracks around it. Like I remember reading something about how like the pH of semen is, it like creates a con, like a, it throws off your vaginal pH. So that was sort of like, I would have another moment of like, oh, is it gonna trigger something? Like, am I going to have this sort of like discomfort again if, you know, if I'm like exposed to, you know, it's, so it was just this conflict, those like subtle moments that I had to bring awareness to.
And like I think, the nuance of, I think what I'm hearing you say, like it, what you realized is it had nothing to do with your partner's semen, but your question,
yes.
Like there's a whole psychological experience that was going on, and you, you know, had read something that had given you the idea about, so there was just more things to kind of be in your head and be concerned about in those moments.
Exactly. So it was those like micro moments of sort of like doubt or like, mm-hmm. and I guess shock or whatever, you know, it's like, it's a conflict that I don't see coming necessarily, that I feel viscerally in the moment. And then it resolves. And then I get the symptoms of like candida, yeast, whatever we describe it as in Western terms, but like it was that resolution phase. So that was, yeah, that became a tricky one for me to resolve. But what ended up being the most helpful, I think, ultimately, was you were saying something about the, yeah, feeling alone in it, or you asked me like, did you share this? And I was like, actually, no, I haven't actually talked about this.
Yep.
And so I did just share it with my partner then. I was like, yeah, I've just been feeling uncomfortable, like physically, you know, I just like have this thing in my head of like, you know, if I'm not ready and it's like happening so fast and it's like this conflict because I want it and then, you know, all this. And after I had voiced that, and of course he was just like so great at receiving that, it just like stopped. So that was kind of as simple as that. I had to express it.
You broke the emotional isolation, which is one of the three criteria for a conflict. And so it is, you know, very often the fastest way out is to consciously, when you know the thing that is being kind of withheld, then you can reveal it. And
So that was really helpful. And I think that was, we had sort of talked about, you and I had talked about it. And I would think like, oh, it's resolved. And then it kind of like would come back. And then I'd be like, oh, it's resolved again. And, you know, so the thing that actually like brought it all the way to resolution was that. And the other thing I learned about that journey was that like the purpose of German New Medicine isn't to make it so that you never have symptoms again. It's an awareness tool, and it's part of that understanding. It's a whole reframe of how you experience your body, but it's not so bad. It's not like it's failing if you experience the symptoms again, you know. It's like you're just going through another, there's another layer to unpack, and that brings you into a deeper intimacy with your body.
Yeah.
Is the
well,
way
and not
I've
only
experienced it.
If someone has enough awareness to see it, not only is the symptom occurring again, it means nothing that the five biological laws are not true. In fact, it only means that they are truer than ever, right? Like that you stepped on the track, you became conflict active, then you stepped off the track and you entered renal resolution. And actually, like each time you have a symptom just gives you another opportunity to affirm the laws. It's not a,
yes.
It's having symptoms does not mean, oh my God, this doesn't work. It actually means, oh no, it is working. It's just that you're still having the experience that hasn't changed yet. And so the symptoms haven't changed.
Yes. And it's sort of that idea of like the biological laws are fairly simple, but humans are more complex, right? So it's like, yeah, my psyche. I mean, there's so many layers to bring awareness to. So in a way, that's like, I'm kind of grateful for those experiences where I kind of re-enter a conflict resolution or a track, because I do learn a lot more about yes. those nuances. Like,
yeah, when I'm working with people, I'm like, I almost find it annoying if someone like resolves it right away. 'Cause like for me, that's, you know, that's not, I want people to see it. I want people to see the pattern and it, and the best way to learn Germany medicine is to have recurring symptoms, that especially symptoms that are on off, on off, on off, because you then can really become attuned to what it means to step on the track, what it means to step off the track. Like you just, it gives you such a different relationship to the pattern. So yeah, I'm very happy when people are going back and forth and able, you know, to see with more and more detail. And you know, I also, something that I say to people a lot, just something that I've observed in myself and then now with other people, it's interesting how much you know, psychological misery, psychological kind of like incoherence and like these little, you know, thoughts that are going on. For some reason, you know, we're very willing to put up with psychological misery for literally ever. Like it's, we'll, you know, we'll say that we hate it, but we're kind of, we just keep doing it. But we do not like physical misery. We do not like physical pain, and we will actually do anything to get away from physical discomfort and pain. And when you learn Germany medicine, and to the point where you can really connect a specific, you know, thought or, you know, kind of emotion experience with this, with the tissue adaptation, then you realize that the psychological misery is directly causing the physical misery, which then actually gives you reason to stop. Do like, you know, this, like you kind of realize like, oh, I can't actually really get away with not talking to my partner about this. Like, I actually just, I need to just speak it to him. And maybe, you know, you would have just kind of gone the whole pregnancy and not said anything. And, I like that. It kind of, it gives you like the thing of like, oh fuck, okay, I guess I'm gonna do the thing that
Yes,
that
it's like
I know
pulling
I
a dog on the leash. The dog's like dragging his feet. It's like, come on, you know. And yeah, so it did. Yeah, it that's exactly right. I felt like those more persistent symptoms gave me an opportunity to like be even closer to that mind-body connection. And also, the physical discomfort, I have a whole new view on it now because number one, I don't think it's required to be uncomfortable in pregnancy. However, I think what I learned through some of the discomforts really helped me in the birth. And I think that probably is true for a lot of women. Not to say that that's necessary to have a good birth, like at all. But for me, it was a lot of just sort of looking at where I'm resisting discomfort and where I can bring a lot of sort of, again, awareness to it, like rather than trying to shove it under the rug. And then that goes for like mind, body experiences, emotions, physical things, like all of the above. But the more that I was able to practice doing that, like it really, I think, yeah, helped me in my birth. And then trusting my body, like trusting that these things happen intelligently.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot recently of, you know, because before I really, you know, became obsessed in the GNM world, like I spent a lot of years in like the, you know, outside of the system birth, you know, that kind of community. And which I think now, because, you know, GNM is just way more popular, like GNM's really, I'm guessing for a lot of people kind of integrating with that world too, but I think it's interesting to like, because in that world, it's like birth is amazing. Like your body is so smart. Your body knows what it's doing. Like trust your body. You know, this is a natural physiologic process. It's beautiful. It's perfect. And then those same people would be like, okay, but you have a cold or a yeast infection or hemorrhoid or, and like, you know, you need to go do this. Like your immune system is failing. This is bad. Like you need to
Yeah,
go
so you
fix
need to
it.
take this vitamin or like this herb or
And so it's,
whatever.
and so like no wonder, like of course, like it's like, well, pregnancy is like the aberration of the pattern. It from that, and it's not actually, right? We understand now, but in that worldview, it's like actually your body does make a lot of mistakes, but But women, don't worry, because pregnancy, like birth, that's not a mistake. So like, you should trust birth. And it's like, how different, like it would be so much more like easy to take on. Like, yeah, of course, birth is a normal, physiologic, intelligent process, because when I sneeze, it's an intelligent process. When I vomit, it's an intelligent process. When I have a hemorrhoid, when I have a headache, like if you realize that every other physiologic, expression was also intelligent, also followed a very precise pattern, then it would be like, well, duh, of course birth works the exact same way as everything else does. But it's like, you almost have to like create a schism of like, well, birth works, but these other things, they're still bad and they still are broken. Whereas when you just realize that actually it's all the same pattern, which is intelligence, then I think, yeah, it does change how you relate to birth. Because you no longer have to, like, I don't know. There's just less dissonance, right? It's like, oh yeah, it's all coherent at that point.
It's so much more cohesive, and it served me. And we'll get into the birth story eventually, but that whole, basically this practice that I was in of developing that awareness and trusting what my body's doing in my pregnancy, like, I don't think I could have had a better prenatal type of care for me. That was the biggest thing. I mean, it informed every other thing that I was experiencing and doing, and it actually brought me so much more lightness around health in general. I already thought before the pregnancy that I had untangled a lot of the dogma around alternative health, right? Because I had gone to school for kind of this alternative health. I think this happens to a lot of people where first they're familiar with allopathic medicine, and then they're like, no, that's all wrong. It's this alternative stuff. And then you reach another, at least in my experience, I reached another point where I realized I was using the herbs and acupuncture and things like that. My mind was applying similar principles of like dogma to these other methods that were more holistic. And so I already had felt like I had untangled that a lot, where it's like, okay, people need to chill out. Like, some of the most unhealthy people I knew were like super rigid with their diet and super holistic and whatever, you know? And I'm like, you know, they don't look that healthy to me, and they don't look happy. So I'm over this. But then pregnancy and being more embodied in this German New Medicine journey, it's like this whole other layer of trust and relaxation around health. And it's a whole different untangling of those final, like, of course it's a continuous process throughout our life, but it's those threads of like, oh, but you really should take echinacea like at the first sight of a thing, you know, whatever the fill in the blank is, whatever that is, it's still my body is doing something wrong, and I have to override it. Or the reason my body is doing something wrong is because I'm bad, I ate the ice cream, or whatever that is for people. And for me, the biggest lesson, and I feel like my baby brought this frequency through in a way, was to relax even further around health. And this system of medicine and you appearing at the right time, like, that confirmed that, like, that little nugget of wisdom of like, okay, what if that story was let go of now, that it's, you know, yeah, about the EMFs or the radiation or the, you know, whatever it is, that there's certain things that are kind of objectively harmful. But I thought I would never travel in pregnancy because of the exposure to radiation on the airplane. And as I was experiencing the German New Medicine working for me, I had this feeling in my body of like, no, we're gonna travel. That's the thing that it felt almost like my baby was like, let's go. Like, let's go travel. Let's enjoy our life. Let's have a baby moon and it's gonna be fine. You know, it's like I I just kind of disadhered myself from some of those remaining pieces. And it, not to say that I've completed that work, but it just brought it into a different kind of light. So so that was really freeing, is the main word, is I felt very free when I was discovering this new way of thinking about my health.
Should we maybe just touch briefly on the two, like the low back pain and the pubic symphysis, and then get to
So the pubic symphysis pain, it was that feeling of like just a lot of, it felt like my pelvic bones were like coming undone from each other. And so I'd have a lot of pain, like going up and down the stairs or like getting out of bed. And then the tailbone pain, I felt like that was related, but that is a slightly different conflict. But
the pubic symphysis one was fun because, like, I mean, you were actually the first pregnant woman that I worked with, and you know, like I have a general map of the body from, so we'd be looking at a self-evaluation pain in resolution. This is like any muscle, any bone, any you know, cartilage, connective tissue is a self-evaluation, and when you're experiencing the pain is in the resolution. And so, like, okay, like, I don't know, she's asking about like the pubic symphysis, like, I don't know what the, because, you know, it, the localization is specific to the type of self-evaluation. So then I was like, you know, in the session, like, you know, it's, my mind's like going a million places, like, okay, where, what could it be? So then I was just thinking, and also because it helped, because I kind of, we'd already been, you'd had several sessions, so I knew your story. And I was like, oh, I bet you it's a resolution of devaluation around, you know, we're not having sex enough. Like, I want to be having more sex than we are, because, like, if you think about, you know, like missionary position, like what, you know, that's like the pubic symphysis is it? And we explored that, and it worked for you, right?
Yeah, it's so funny, because that is like, I really thought that it was just my growing belly. And you had mentioned, well, okay, if that was the case, then why wouldn't every single pregnant woman have pubic symphysis pain? And there are women who don't. So it's not
just. And also, there's some women who have, like, who have it in one, like, because I, after this, I was telling this to a really good, to a good friend of mine. She was like, you know what? I had pubic symphysis in my first pregnancy, and I was having these feelings about not having sex with my husband. But then we, you know, and then that changed, and they were having sex later on in the pregnancy. And then she's like, and, you know, I didn't have it in my second pregnancy, because our sex life, I mean, I didn't have any of those self-evaluations in our second pregnancy. So, I mean, I have to work with, you know, I don't know, another 50 women on pubic symphysis pain to affirm this for sure. But
it's really, yeah, like, it's really interesting how it all connects, because in a way that was related to the candida or yeast or like that kind of discomfort. So it all kind of nests within each other. It's like,
yeah, which is like, I mean, so frequent, right? That one symptom, and this can go in, you know, so many different ways that I've seen, but, you know, where one symptom, either the experience of the symptom, or like the pain of it, or the discomfort of it, or the visual of the symptom, or the story that a person has about what that symptom's going to mean in the future, you know, creates a new conflict shock. In this case, you know, you had the morning sickness, so you know you weren't having a lot of sex, and then you had the candida, so that was kind of interrupting things too. And so then you're having this like self-devaluation, and then as you heal all of that, you resolve the self-devaluation, and then the pubic symphysis, like, it's just there's like such a rhythm, like I almost like it is like music or something, when you actually start to really, when you really know the pattern, you can like just see how it all goes together, like, so artfully.
Yeah. And it becomes like, in my experience, it was a lot less frustrating then, because it wasn't like this totally random, like, I'm just unlucky and I have these symptoms.
Yeah, one symptom to the next symptom.
Yeah.
Like one thing and another thing comes.
Yeah. And actually for the most part, like, I, other than the vomiting, the other symptoms, like, I was still enjoying my pregnancy. It was just these like things that were uncomfortable, which were still worth addressing. But like, just to be clear, like, I actually had a really nice time overall. But yeah, like the pubic symphysis pain and the tailbone pain really felt, it made perfect sense because I had been feeling that's a kind of self-devaluation around like, oh, well, like I really want this kind of like intimate rhythm, but I can't because, and it's because of me, it's because I have this like discomfort, this candida, I'm tired, I'm pregnant, I'm uncomfortable in my body. It's not like how I wanted it to be, you know? So that was like, of course, perfectly aligned with that self-devaluation. And then,
and I think if I remember for the tailbone, you know, it's very frequently like a financial self-devaluation, and you did have a big resolution around your finances right when the tailbone pain started.
Yes. I actually forgot about that until you just mentioned it, but that's so true. And, it was right before I went on this like amazing trip. We went to Norway and Greece, and I had the thought of, oh, my tailbone pain is going to be really bad because of the airplane seats and the, you know, this and that. And I had absolutely no pain. So that sort of debunked my remaining belief around like, it's my posture, it's the sitting, it's the I'm doing too much physically, whatever. It was like, I was on these airplanes and we were taking boats to different Greek islands and sitting in funny seats and all this stuff that would normally aggravate. And I had gone through the resolution right before the trip so that during the whole trip, I had no aches and pains. It was amazing. And yeah, so I actually felt as the pregnancy continued on, I had less and less symptoms physically. And I had heard all of these stories of women feeling like they're about to explode and feeling so uncomfortable and feeling like a whale and just like, oh, it's so hard in the end of pregnancy. Like, it's so uncomfortable. You just want to give birth already. And it's interesting because I think because of this work, well, I know because of this work, it was reverse for me. I felt very comfortable in my body in my most pregnant weeks. And that was so beautiful to be able to approach the birth portal with such a sense of comfort and trust. And I also had a feeling and a knowing that like, even if I had symptoms crop up, I knew that I'd be able to relax around them. So it was like, but I didn't. I remember telling my husband, like, it's almost like I'm not even, the way that I feel in my movement and everything, it's like I'm not even pregnant and I have this huge belly. So what's the deal, you know? And so that was really, really cool. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. There was one more like minor thing that I thought of the other day, which was that I would often get up to pee in the middle of the night. In my like later phase, probably 39 weeks onward or something. And right after that, I would have like a sneeze attack. And I figured that one out, like just, we didn't even meet about that one, but I just was like, every time I wake up and I have to pee, I'm thinking to myself, like, this stinks. Like, I hate having to get out of bed at 4 in the morning. Like, this sucks, you know? And then it's like a stink conflict. And I get back in bed and I get all cozy and I'm like, okay, now I can go back to sleep. And I start sneezing. Like, I just had resolved the stink conflict. So I thought that was very cool to like connect that. And then I stopped sneezing like after I figured that out. So anyway, now we're kind of like at the birth story point, I think, unless there's anything else you want to cover.
You know, I'm just thinking about the sneezing because I mean, it's such a simple symptom, the sneeze.
Yeah. Like,
and what we call that is the epileptoid crisis, right? This is the peak of the healing phase, and vomiting would be similar. And I know we had talked about that, like, because from a German New Medicine perspective, like the way that Dr. Homer would like describe the process of pregnancy is that like the birth, you know, was the epileptoid crisis. And it would all sort of follow the same law of two phases. And so I know we had sort of discussed that of like, you know, if you can vomit, like you can give birth. If you
Yes.
and I didn't know about the sneezing, but like if you can sneeze, like you can have a bit, like it actually, these
Yes.
actually are the same, the it's the same rhythm. And so I don't know, maybe just to share that for another woman who's listening,
Yes.
that, you know, if you, when you really understand that these peak healing moments, you know, they follow this, like this real, like this very specific pattern in the same way that pregnancy and birth does. And you know, like we all know, like pregnancy, like it's a predictable process. Like what happens, you know, and symptoms are really the exact same. Once you know the law of two phases, it's just like it's so predictable how it happens, you know. And so, yeah. But
Yeah.
I'm just wherever you want to go with the birth story, I'm so excited to hear.
Amazing. Yeah, it's very satisfyingly predictable. And we had one call shortly before I went into labor, a few weeks before. And I do remember you saying, if you can vomit, you can give birth. And that was one of my worries with was that I would vomit so much during labor and it would sort of sabotage my birth. And I felt very affirmed by that sort of comparison, like your body's just going to do it. Like, you know, you can actually handle vomiting like quite a lot in the labor process. And if it's a decision-making conflict, then to voice it as it's coming. And I did that in my labor. I said things, I thought of that conversation. And I would say things out loud, and I think that really helped. So I'll start at the beginning of my labor process and birth process. So on the 29th of November, I was probably 42 weeks. Like, of course, the dates are a little here or there, give or take, but I was around 42 weeks, and I went to get adjusted at the chiropractor. And again, I was just feeling like super good in my body, just like really balanced. And I came home and I just thought, well, if I feel this good, maybe it'll be like another couple weeks. I'll be one of those 44 week women because I don't feel like I'm about to pop or anything. And I wanted to, one of the things I'm really passionate about is feng shui. So I had this thing that I had been wanting to do. I wanted to go around, write affirmations for each section of the home, which are like symbolic sections of life. And that was like kind of a, just a ceremony I'd been wanting to do. So my husband and I did that night, which was really fun. And we said out loud the affirmations as we put them in the different home sections. And we finished with, like, I wrote out my dream birth on paper and I put it on our birth altar. And I had a little talk with baby that night, and I was sitting on the couch looking at the Christmas tree. And I said out loud to baby, I was like, hi, like, if you know, you can take as much time as you need. There is no rush. But if you are ready, like, we're also ready, you know, and we're really excited to meet you. And I said it out loud. And I think that was the first time I said it really like fully out loud. I would say it in my head a lot to the baby. And so we went to sleep that night, and I woke up at 4 in the morning, and I had this strong sort of like similar to like a menstrual cramp when I had kind of tough periods. And I was like, ah, this is exciting, you know? But I wasn't sure if it would just be like a one-off kind of thing. So it happened a few more times in like kind of regularly. And that's when I started to get really excited. So I told my husband, and I wanted to have fun. You know, I just wanted to enjoy that early labor. And I had heard stories of women in their first births, especially having very long processes, like 3 days or, you know, a whole day of early labor or whatever. So I kind of was like, let's just have fun. I want bacon and eggs, and I want to watch Supervention, like the ski snowboard movie. And I just was like, let's just be cozy. You know, it might just be like 12 hours of this. And so I was downstairs, like very giddy. My husband was excited, making bacon and eggs. I ate them. He's like, should we fill up the birth pool? And I'm like, ah, oh, I don't know. You know, of course, decision conflict. I was like, I don't know, it might be too early. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, I might just be doing this for hours, or maybe it'll be fast. And I don't know. And right after I said that, I puked up the bacon and eggs. And so he's like, I'm just gonna fill it. And I'm like, okay. So while he was filling it, I was kind of starting to be like, oh, good thing he's filling it, because these contractions, sensations, whatever, are starting to feel more intense. But even the intensity, like, I was really welcoming it. Like, I was excited about it. So I was on all fours on our bed. The salt lamp was on. It was dark. That was exactly what I had envisioned the whole pregnancy. That's exactly the way that my birth was, like, in my mind. And I was just wiggling around like cat cow, mooing, like making noises. And I wanted my husband to be there the whole time. Like, I know some, I've heard of stories of like, oh, don't touch me, you know, but I wanted him to be like coddling me almost the entire process. Like, it just felt really nice. And that's also what I had written in my birth vision. So the tub was full a couple hours later. And at this point, it was maybe 8:30 in the morning. So I had been feeling these sensations for about like 4 hours or so. And it felt really nice to get in the birth pool. And my husband was in there with me and like rubbing my feet and massaging my like calves. And he just felt very grounding. And I told him, I think we have done this together thousands of times. Like, this whole thing feels so familiar and so comfortable. And he was like, yes, we have. And I was like, I'm actually having fun right now, you know? And I was like, this is awesome, you know? It's like, so that was so cool. And I just felt very, very grateful to be comfortable and private, and especially grateful that it was just me and him, because it did feel energetically very similar to like how the baby is conceived. It felt like a similar energy to like bring the baby earthside. Like, it just felt very intimate and romantic, even, you know, just like so close. So it would feel very odd to me to have anyone else there. And so it was going very well. There were a few other, like, I would have these micro thoughts of like, just, I don't know, just certain thoughts would come up, and I knew that the thoughts were triggering the vomiting. Like, I can't even remember specifically now, but it was just,
wow.
Just
so you like, didn't you did notice that, that there was
I a noticed it in real time. It would be like, I would have a memory of someone else sharing their birth story with me, and I would puke, and I would be like, nope, that's not my story, you know? And also, no wonder I'm puking. Like, I don't know. I just felt very connected. But I also felt, I think what helped me is that I didn't have an additional conflict around, oh no, I'm puking. You know, I felt like, oh, no problem. My body can handle vomiting in labor. And my body is designed to do this. So that was huge for me, I think, because if I would have been panicking about the fact that I was puking, that wouldn't have helped. So yeah. I was just very relaxed, feeling the sensations, occasionally puking. And I started, the sensation started to really intensify, and I would just sleep between them. So I would just be like asleep, wake up, let out like a huge ohm or like some kind of, yeah, I just wanted to make like really low sounds, and then go back to sleep. And it went on like that for a while. I would say like around 11 a.m. I just wanted to reach inside myself and see, like, not because I had to see how dilated I was, but I just was curious about how it felt. Like, how does my cervix feel? And I thought it was so cool to like feel that there was like a sac of water. Like, it was, I could feel the sac and I could feel the shape of my cervix. And it was like maybe 3 centimeters, you know, it was just, but it was, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool. My body's doing this, you know? And then I just kept going from the floor to the pool, to the bed, to the floor, to the pool. At a certain point, it got so intense that I remember reading about this concept of like going further into the pain instead of trying to resist it. So I started doing that when it became very painful. And it was very psychedelic. Like, I just imagined myself kind of just going down the rabbit hole a little bit, just experiencing the sensations inwardly. And that's when I felt like, okay, I want to go to the bathroom and I want to be alone. So I think that was my transition. But I never had that feeling of like, I can't do this, help me. I actually felt like this is really cool, but I'm just gonna like go deeper into it. So that was kind of fun to like have that experience. And I sat on the toilet and wanted to be alone. And this was maybe around noon, maybe a little later. And my water broke. So, but I didn't really look. I mean, it went, I'm sure it went into the toilet, but I felt it, but I just wanted to have my eyes closed and I just wanted to feel everything. And after my water broke, my body started pushing. The fetal ejection reflex kicked in very strongly and all of the pain went away. So it was really cool because I had these contractions that were so strong that I was trying to go into the pain. And that's exactly what brought me to this point of no pain. So it was just like, I was actually smiling and it was really strong. I was vocalizing as well, but like involuntarily, like almost like a choking sound. Like, it was just like very primal animal feelings. And my belly was just from the top down, like squeezing downward. And I just kept being like, thank you, spirit, thank you, like God, thank you. I just was so like, this experience is so transcendent. I was in the thick of the birth process and I was in no pain and I was smiling. And every time that the sensation of like fetal ejection reflex would come, the light would shine through the bathroom window, like really bright, perfectly timed with my like pushing or whatever. My body was pushing on its own. I had never pushed this entire process. I never consciously pushed. My body was just pushing. And it was so beautiful to have the light come through at like each crescendo and then like fade off as the surge faded off. And it did that a few times. And then I reached inside and I felt my baby's head, like a little wrinkly head. And I had this inner knowing like, oh, my baby is so healthy. Like, I just, it was like downloaded to me the moment I touched the head. And I, at this point, I still thought I was having a boy, but I was like, he's so healthy. And I still was maybe like 5 centimeters dilated. Like, I, the feeling was that it was like maybe a little bit larger than the top of like a kombucha bottle. Like, it was just, it was not like a huge dilation. It was, but I could feel the head. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I'm glad I actually felt inside myself, because in the moment I had such a visceral trust that it didn't bring any sort of like, oh, I'm only this dilated feeling. But what rather what it brought was like, this is amazing that my body can just do this. And I kind of had a little bit of like a haha, like I knew cervical dilation didn't actually matter that much, you know, like I don't know, I just sort of was like, I fucking knew it. And like, yeah, so I, because I had this voice in my head, and I felt like my baby was communicating with me that said the next two surges my head will be out. So I was like, cool, like I'm gonna dilate super fast then. And sure enough, two surges later, and once again, like the light coming through, I felt the presence of all. When I closed my eyes, I could see like Mother Mary, my female ancestors, the women that have supported me on earth. Like I could just feel the presence of all of these women in spirit and on earth. And I could see them when I shut my eyes. And I just felt so like embraced. And so these next two surges were a very spiritual experience for me, but I like smiled through them. There was no ring of fire sensation at all. My baby just popped out. Like the head just, sure enough, just like the voice in my head told me, just popped out, like no effort whatsoever. And that's when I called for my husband, and I was like, can you come in here? He's like, okay, you know. And then he opens the bathroom door, and my dog is standing in the doorway, and my dog was like, had like the jaw drop kind of expression, like, oh my God, what is happening? And there's like the head is hanging out of me, and I'm standing up, like I felt like a giraffe, like just super simple, primal, like baby is almost out. And so I just told my husband, like, get on your knees and like catch the baby. And I was like, the next sensation, the baby will be out. And it was probably less than a minute. Like he got on his hands and knees, and like seconds later, she just came flying out, like in just a big splash. Like it was just like how you see animals in the wild and they just fall out, like boom. Like first their head comes out and there's a little pause, and then they just fall out. And that's exactly what happened. Once again, there was like absolutely no pain, just sort of just this like euphoria. And she immediately cried this big, like healthy cry. And then after that, we just all looked at each other. Like she looked at me, like we looked at her. She was on my chest, you know, and I could tell she was just very peaceful. And my husband was laughing, kind of like laugh crying, like, we have a daughter, it's a girl. And I'm like, oh my God, I wanted it to be a surprise. And it is like a true surprise, you know. And I was so like elated about it. And we went in the pool for a second just to like be with each other. And then we went to the bed, and I got all covered up, and she latched like almost immediately after coming out. She just like immediately latched, and it was so beautiful. And then my husband had a bowl for the placenta, and he put it next to the bed, and I just like hopped out of bed and pulled the placenta out. It was like the easiest thing ever. I was like, yep, okay. And I just grabbed the cord and pulled it out. Like there was just absolutely nothing complicated about the entire process. It was just as simple as like, if you can throw up, you can have a baby. It was so amazing. And we kept the placenta in a bowl next to baby. And suddenly it felt like it had been 15 minutes, and it was like 2.5 hours later. You know, I'm just like, so crazy how time just stops. And then eventually, like when we felt like it was time, we burned the cord with beeswax candles, and it was so beautiful and simple and joyous. And I wasn't like, you know, of course it was challenging and I was ready to rest, but I wasn't drained, or, you know, I just felt amazing. Like, and it I felt so in love with my baby and my husband, and I felt like this like upgrade had just happened majorly in every area, and it had, and I hadn't even torn, like it just, I didn't tear, I didn't, you know, I dilated rapidly. Like I basically am living proof that there are so many things that don't have to be true about birth, basically. Like it can be so easy if you are not in your own way, so to speak. And like, and yeah, it was, and then the postpartum was really beautiful. And one of the other things that I thought, like, I had heard that the first poop after birth was like this nightmare. You know, I don't know. I just, I kept hearing these stories, you know, it's like, oh, it's so hard and you need your peri-bottle and all this stuff. And that also was not true. Everything was very simple, very, very simple and easy and beautiful. And like my body knew exactly what to do, and it did not take long to heal at all. Like it just basically went, of course you never go exactly back to, like, I don't say this to mean that we should strive to go back to our maiden form, because that is a really like a sickness in our culture. But I mean, like, I had no pathology at all. Like it just, things felt so much more similar to what they were before that I was shocked, you know, just like my uterus contracted with the breastfeeding. My yoni was very much like the same. I expected it to be like very different. And it's, you know, it's just a miracle to me how our biology is able to like morph and shift and then return actually better than before. It's like that is a possibility. So I actually feel better than I did before I was pregnant, and I am so happy to say that. So yeah, it's like it's possible, and it's possible to feel like, and even like my hair is thicker than it was before I was pregnant. You know, there's all these things that, of course, like you, it's possible to lose hair and it's possible to like, you know, have complications, but it's also possible to just feel better than ever. So yeah, that's like, that's how it went. And we're so in love. And when we chose the name, a name came to my husband that night while we were sleeping. And we looked up the meaning, and it means light, like divine light and bright shining one. So I was like, oh, that has to be the name because of that experience I had with the light coming through the window. So I think she sort of told us her name, and yeah, it just felt very sacred and primal. And it really, the experience of caring for a newborn postpartum has also been incredibly simple and has brought my husband and I even closer together. So, I mean, we were already close, but it was just like, again, those cultural narratives of like, you'll never sleep and it's hard and the relationship takes a toll and a strain. Like, again, like it just, it can be the opposite of that. So yeah, it's been really amazing. And a lot of it was like thanks to the kind of like awareness work and the relationship that I developed with my body with German New Medicine. It's very, very key. Yeah. So
I mean, no words. That is just the most precious birth story.
Thank you. It's so fun to talk about it. It's so fun to know in my body how easy it can be. And I think that extends to a lot of other parts of my life now, where, yeah, things can be, you can like let things be easy and sort of yeah, approach it from just taking away the programming that has covered up that ease, you know, and then what's left is there for you. And it's like nature really did have it figured out, styled in.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for all of that. And is there anything else you want to say, or you feel complete?
I think I feel pretty complete. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really feel like it was divinely timed that I was able to have all of those sessions in my pregnancy, and yeah, it made all the difference. So, and I'm so happy to be able to share such an amazing outcome now with my birth and postpartum and all those things. So yeah, I appreciate it. And I hope that other women can access that kind of possibility within themselves as well, because it's, I really do believe that it's a potential that exists within everyone.
Well, and there's a way where like every single symptom is showing us that potential, you know, like,
yeah,
because every, yeah, it's the same pattern. It's the same intelligence. And